are listening to the preaching ministry of Faith Baptist Church.
All right, put yourself in this situation. Imagine for a moment that you are walking around your neighborhood to get some fresh air, and you're deep in thought, minding your own business, when all of a sudden, you notice a $100 bill stuck in the branches of a bush on the side of the sidewalk. What should you do? Now, this question will reveal everything about who you are as a person. No, not really. Some of us would actually snap up that $100 bill without even thinking. We would grab it, put it in our pockets, and then thank God quickly as we could, right? That would be no thinking about it. We would thank God and grab the money. Others of us would leave that $100 bill dangling, hoping that whoever lost it would come back and find it later on. We would just go on our way and leave it there. Some of us would actually wait around for a few minutes. We would take a hybrid approach and wait a little bit to see if anyone came back to claim it. Maybe we would give 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Maybe some of us would give 30 minutes or whatever. But eventually, if no one came back, we would take it for ourselves, just not right away. Some of us would actually take the extra step of ringing the doorbells of the nearest houses to see if anyone had lost the money before we claimed it for ourselves, giving the local neighbors a chance to claim it. Perhaps there are some of us who would actually call the local police to report the money as lost. Now, some of us would say, well, I wouldn't do that for $100 in a bush, but I would do it for $1,000. Where's your line? What would you do? See, which of these five responses would you personally prefer, and why? What are the biblical reasons or principles that you would apply to that situation? Or maybe you're sitting there saying to yourself, whoever's sitting in the room with you, there's actually a sixth option, and I would do, and then you proceed to explain something that I haven't even mentioned yet tonight. Should you take the cash or not when you see it stuck in a bush at the side of the road? What makes this hypothetical situation challenging, and some of us may have actually faced that. If you're listening right now online, you could actually post in the comment section on the side of the screen, hey, that's me. I've actually had that happen to me. And in full disclosure, if you want, you could actually post a comment telling us what you actually did. Now, some of us may look at this and think, well, the answer is obvious what you should do in that situation. But sometimes the answer isn't always a matter of right and wrong, or even the best response isn't always clear. Some of us may feel that taking the money is stealing, but others may feel that it's actually God's providential provision. After all, the money may have blown there from somewhere else, making it impossible for the original owner to actually ever find it anyway. And you don't want someone to take it and use it for bad things, right? So you take it for yourself. Stealing, clearly, is a violation of God's moral will and established civil law. But is taking this loose money from the bush actually stealing? That's the question. When we encounter situations like this one in our lives, and there's lots of variations, we know there are a variety of options. And we also know that of all the options available, there is probably a option that is best. Or at least some options are probably better than others. But since the best response isn't obvious, we're going to have to rely on something else called our conscience to help us make this decision. So, let's talk about our consciences. Our conscience. What is our conscience? Our conscience is that inner part of how we think and feel. The meaning of the word could be something like this: our inner awareness or consciousness. It's your awareness about what is right and wrong, and it's something that we're going to be aware of quite strongly in the weeks ahead. Your conscience is something that you are dealing with right now, whether you've realized this or not. I'm going to tell you, you have. And you're going to. So in upcoming Wednesday night Bible studies, we're going to transition away from our study of chesed in the Psalms to a study of the conscience in the New Testament. And I hope that it's really going to help us navigate some difficult and challenging opportunities that are sitting in front of us. Our consciences are going to be tested in a variety of ways, in particular as we navigate our transition back to regular life as A, individuals, B, families, C, a church, and D, a city. Like the $100 bill stuck in the bush by the sidewalk, we're going to all, individually and as a church and as families, be facing some challenging scenarios that require us to make decisions, knowing that there may be a variety of views about what is best. Let's consider some challenging scenarios that are going to come up and already are coming up. Things that, whether we like it or not, we're going to have to think through. And if you want, you can post some things live in the comment section on Facebook. If I miss a scenario or there's one in mind that you think should be mentioned or you'd like me to look at and talk about at some point. Let's begin with the obvious. Wearing masks. Should we wear masks? Should we wear them at home? Should we wear them in public at all times? Or only when we're in close proximity to people outside our immediate family? Now, personally, let me just tell you, we probably should wear masks, right? We're being told to do that. But the question is actually more difficult than that, because the question really is when and where should we wear them? If you want to drill down even more deeply, the question gets more profound and complicated if we ask the question, which masks should we wear? I mean, there's a great debate, right, about some of these masks with little ventilator devices on them that help us breathe better so our glasses don't fog up and all this kind of thing and filter the air better. But there's a great debate about whether or not they actually spread allergens around more than a regular mask. There's a great debate about that. Let's talk about another topic, topics like shopping. Should we go and shop at physical stores? Is it okay to go to Dunkin' Donuts in person and buy donuts yet? Or should we only order online? How about this one, visiting friends? Should we visit our friends, church friends or otherwise, at home or in public, even though we haven't seen them in over 2 months? And we might perhaps spread something to them. Online pictures. Should we post pictures of ourselves in public without a mask on or not? Not a big deal, but for some of us, we may be thinking about that, right? One side or the other. What about this one? This is real for us. Church participation. Should we resume gathering together as a church? And when should we do it? And when we do, how should we do it? What safety precautions should we take? How about this one? Church and government. To what degree does the government have authority to dictate when we can worship and how we can worship? I mean, a question we would not have thought we would be even talking about in 2020. But here we are. When does it become necessary or appropriate to, oh, quote-unquote, from the Bible, obey God rather than men? How about this one? Public safety and spiritual health. I don't know if you've thought a lot about this. I think a lot about this as a pastor. We are very, very aware of our physical nature, aren't we? And physical health. But are we also aware of our spiritual nature and our spiritual health? The well-known now, whatever you think about him, Dr. Fauci, has recently gone on record saying that suicides and mental health are actually going to get worse during a time like this, the longer that this social isolation goes on. And so here's the question, as we seek to preserve life in one kind of physical way, the suicides and the mental health that is affected in spiritual ways, in other ways, is also something that we have to grapple with. These are challenging topics, aren't they? So it may seem cut and dry that we need to do everything we can to protect physical health, but what about our spiritual and psychological health that gets affected in trying to deal with the physical? Recognizing that we are both physical and spiritual beings, to what degree should we exercise caution for the good of public health and safety when it actually can do damage to our spiritual and psychological health? So there are risks both ways. There are psychological and spiritual risks that we take when we don't gather together as a church, for instance, and there are physical risks that we take by doing so. In each of these scenarios, and there are more, I can't see the comments on Facebook right now, but maybe you've posted some others. Now, there are going to be a variety of opinions in our church and even in our families. Sometimes between a husband and a wife, there might be some very interesting discussions going on right now at home. And I say that as a husband who has a wife that I love. And by the way, tomorrow is our 13th wedding anniversary. We've made it to year 13. Praise the Lord for that. But in 13 years of marriage, right, there are going to be discussions that you have as a husband and wife. So I can't imagine that we're immune to that. And then as a church, we're going to have a diversity of opinions about various things that I just mentioned and more. To make matters even more difficult, not even our local, state, and federal governments agree on what to do. So you can go online, right, and there are medical experts that say things about everything. There's a statistic and there's a chart that says something, and then professionals on the other side say the opposite. This is what we're dealing with right now, and so I want to talk about it head on. As a pastor, we have to be united, right, during times like this, and so we have to talk about openly how do we grapple with these things that we have to make decisions about that are not as clear as we may either A, think they are, or want them to be. So let me say this. These things are not resolved by it being as simple as finding a verse. The scenarios I've mentioned cannot be resolved by the simple approach of find a Bible verse about it and then do what it says. You don't Google the Bible to solve these problems. For instance, there isn't a quick and handy Bible verse in the book of Proverbs about social distancing when there's a pandemic, or wearing masks, and what kind, and when. So we'll need to rely on broader principles to make our decisions. Principles like Romans 13:9. If you're not already there, take a look at Romans 13:9. And in that verse, Paul refers to a principle that is in the Old Testament. Jesus teaches it as well in his ministry. The principle of love your neighbor as yourself. Very important. When we talk about should I wear a mask or not? Should I observe the 6-foot rule or not? Should I go to a store or not? Should we gather together or not as a church? Yes, we have to ask that question. Love your neighbor as yourself. But here's the question again, right? Does continuing to not gather at church actually love my neighbor as myself? Or am I actually, to protect myself and the physical health of others, risking the spiritual and psychological health of others? And these are questions we have to grapple with. I'm not giving an answer. I'm just throwing that out there. To make matters even more challenging, we may also face scenarios in which biblical principles or commands appear to be at odds. For instance, God commands in our same passage, Romans 13 and verses 1 to 7, that we should submit to government authorities. Very important. And then Paul then right after that clearly explains that this is a part of loving our neighbor as ourself. Yet, how can we reconcile this clear command with the clear command in Hebrews 10:23-25 to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And how do you reconcile these principles? You can't say one is more important than the other. It's not that simple. Besides, in Hebrews 10, the person who wrote the book of Hebrews was telling the believers to gather together, even though he knew it might get them killed. They would go against great social pressure and even die by persecution in that case, in some instances, for actually coming together. Now, this is important to ask because the believers there faced great risk in gathering together. And so whenever we do actually all regather together as a church, for instance, it's never going to be without risk. The question, though, is when do we take that risk and on what grounds and how do we do it? I mean, that's the question. To answer this conundrum isn't as simple as figuring out which command is more important, assembling as a church or obeying government guidelines. I wish it was. I really do wish it was that simple. But here's what I want to draw our attention to. I've alluded to Romans 13 and verse 10, 9. I've also alluded to Romans 13, 1 through 7. But I also want to allude to Romans 14, 1. Look at Romans 14, 1. Now remember, we're talking about our conscience. That part of us that God has given that helps us make individual choices about what is best or what is right and wrong in situations that aren't exactly clear. Romans 14:1, receive one who is weak in the faith, and I'm not going to right now talk about what that means. We can save that for another Bible study. But he goes on to say, receive that one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. Not to disputes over doubtful things, which could also be translated, don't quarrel over opinions, as another Bible translation phrases it. As a pastor, I am not aware of any such problems in our church right now. I actually don't know of any bad blood over wearing masks or any debates over whether or not we should or shouldn't come back to church and how and these kind of things. I'm not aware of any, and that's why I'm really glad to be able to talk about this right now, because I'm not saying this to settle any arguments in our church or to resolve any problems. I'm actually saying this by looking ahead at what could happen to try to help us as a church family avoid that from happening. We want to stay unified together, recognizing we may have some various ways of handling what's coming down the pike. So, I am keenly aware of the possibility that these kind of difficulties can come up, and we don't want to fall into a problem. So, the word quarrel. Quarrel means something like disputing and arguing, and it implies this, very important to understand, something like seeing a tricky situation as a two-sided issue, one that, as the old phrase goes, is either black or white in the old monochrome black and white printing, right? It's either black or it's white. There's no color wheel. It's this idea that there is either A or B. A is clearly right, B is clearly wrong, and then we divide people that we're looking at in the church into those two sides, into those two parties, and then judge them accordingly. Now, there are things like that, right? You should never steal. If you do, you're a thief, and that should not be tolerated. You should never commit adultery. We're not talking about these obvious things. We're talking about the difficult things, where there are kind of maybe two sides that need to be thought through. This word quarrel also implies that when we see these two sides in our views, we take it upon ourselves to decide which of us is on the right side of the issue and which is on the wrong side. We pass judgment on each other. Those that we disagree with, we then develop a wrong and critical, negative spirit towards them. We look down on them, one way or the other. And that's what Satan desires to happen in our church through this time of transitioning back to meeting together as a church. But we have to be careful. We have to be smarter than that and avoid it. Here in Romans 14, Paul mentions at least two challenges like this that the believers in Rome, in that church, were facing. It wasn't a pandemic, it wasn't social isolation and regathering and wearing masks. They were struggling with picking sides on which was right or best in a couple other issues. To eat meat or to go vegetarian? That was a hot debate in the church at that time, and people were taking sides. The second issue was whether or not to celebrate common holidays that were being celebrated by some believers and not others, that were not commanded holidays but had redeeming value to them for those who observed them properly with a God-honoring attitude and motivation. This was not the only church facing challenges like this, nor were these the only issues going on in the first century at that time like this. For instance, in the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you can look it up, believers were struggling with deciding who was right. The members who thought it was okay to eat meat that had first been dedicated at an idol temple, like halal food, or those who claimed that a believer should never eat such meat at all. Some claimed you should never even eat meat that has been, you know, blessed like halal meat or offered at a temple first because it was offered at a temple and associated with idolatry. Others would argue it doesn't matter because the idol is just a fake and a fraud. It's not even real. It's a piece of stone or metal, and it's not even a real god or anything. So when they prayed over it, nothing actually happened to it anyway. It's just meat, which would also be true. And so, what should you do? Should you eat that meat or not? And this was a hot debate. Right now, a Faith Baptist church, we need to avoid, yes, things like that, but how we handle the coming back to church and the return to normal, we need to handle that in a way that doesn't take sides and look down on one side or the other. So in the study that we're going to go through on Wednesday nights in the weeks ahead, tonight, I'm not going to get into these issues in detail, the meat offered to idols, the meat versus vegetables, and the holidays or no holiday, this kind of thing. I'm not going to talk about that tonight. We might do that in an upcoming Wednesday. We're going to break these things down more going ahead. Tonight, I just want to point out that difficulties like this aren't new. These are challenges that churches have faced for centuries. And the church continues to go forward through the centuries despite these things. What's important for us to know is that we recognize the potential for these dangers and that we remain strong in our unity as a church as we navigate our transition back to regular church gatherings. There are going to be a variety of opinions about the best steps forward, the best safety measures, and so on. And Christian and I are going to do our very best to make sure that we do a good job with that. But there are still going to be a range of differences as to whether or not we should do more or less and this kind of thing. And we're just going to have to accept that on the front end and learn to love each other and be patient with each other, not take sides, and realize it's not as clear as we may think it is. There are different sides to some of these things, and we're going to have to be gracious with each other. It's the most beautiful thing we can do in the weeks ahead. We should, as Paul says in Romans 14:19, take a look at that. Romans 14:19. When we deal with things like this, let's not try to take sides and figure out who's right and wrong. Let's pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. So that pursue. Really work at doing what makes for peace between us, realizing we all want to do the right thing here. It's just challenging to know what the right thing is. And it may be a little different for each individual and each family as we go along. And at the end, we'll all be back together at the right time and the right way. But in the meantime, let's focus on peace and building each other up as we've been talking about in Ephesians. Do things that encourage each other, meet one another's needs, help each other to be spiritually strong to this time. We should also be careful, Romans 14:20, to handle this in a way that does not destroy the work of God. Let's not let, yes, idols and meat and holidays, things like that, destroy the work of God. Not at all worth it. And in this case, let's not let things like social distancing and how we recover from a pandemic and get back together and all of these kind of things destroy the work of God. That's what Satan wants to have happen. We have to be wiser than that. Whatever we do, we should do it in faith. We're going to talk more about this, Romans 14:23, which means with a conscience finely tuned to the Word of God. Not just one particular verse many times, but different principles kind of in balance together. Believing that what you yourself and you, your family are doing is best for good and godly reasons, not driven by fear on one hand or carelessness on the other. Even this coming Sunday, as some of us gather in small groups at church, I hope that those who do don't look at those who don't with any negative feelings. And those that don't look on those that do as being careless or flagrant. We have to be able to look at each other and realize we're all praying, juggling, working through these very same situations, and we all are wanting to do what is best for the glory of God and the growth of His church and loving neighbor as self. So this study tonight serves as an introduction. We're going to talk more about the conscience and how our conscience, we should understand what it is, how to handle it, and how we can work through in our consciences the best way forward in the weeks and months ahead. And by doing so, we're going to come out of this pandemic not just more aware of the faithful loyalty of God, but also more aware of our conscience and more healthy in our conscience, and more united together in our consciences as a church.